Today's daf is Vavbas, daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. We left off in daf Kuf Lamed Vavim Beis. We just started the sugya of Kinyan Peiros Kikinyan Aguftami, or Lav Kikinyan Aguftami. The Mishnah had said that if a person is Kosev Nechasov Lebano La'achar Moso, a person writes over his Nechasim to his child after he dies, and the son sells it B'chayi Ha'av, he sells the Guf that he owns B'chayi Ha'av, and then the son ends up dying before the father. So we had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether the sale is valid or not. If you hold that kinyan peiros is kikinyan haguftami, so the son's sale is totally invalid because the father retained the rights to the kinyan peiros. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says lo kana lokeach, because kinyan peiros kikinyan haguftami. Reish Lakish held kinyan peiros are lav kikinyan haguftami, and therefore Reish Lakish held that kana lokeach, that the sale is valid because the father only owned the kinyan peiros, the son owned the property for real, and therefore the son had the right to sell it. We then had a discussion as to what the chiddush of this machlokas kinyan peiros kinyan aguftami or lav kinyan aguftami is, if we already know that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argue elsewhere whether kinyan peiros is kinyan aguftami or lav, and we said that perhaps the chiluk is when dealing with the son, one might have thought that one is being more generous, and in Rabbi Yochanan's side, one might have thought one is being more generous when dealing with the son, and Reish Lakish says no, when dealing with oneself, one might have thought that one is being more stingy. And therefore we say that even though it's you, and even though it's your son, that are the two options as to who's going to be the rightful owner of it, it still boils down to that same simple machlokas, that shas machlokas, of kinyan peiros kinyan aguftami, or lav kinyan aguftami. Good, so we left off at Eisvei, about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the page. Last one on the line is Eisvei. Says in Mara, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan holds kinyan peiros R. Kikinyan Haguftam, he asks on Reish Lakish the following. What if a person says, we learned previously that a person says, Nechasai lach v'acharecha yirish ploni, v'acharav yirish ploni, a person is not satisfied just giving his Nechasim over to one person. He wants to determine the exact line that his Nechasim are going to follow, exactly where they're going to go. Not that it goes to you and then your Yarshim, but that it goes to you, Reuven, and then Reuven, once you die, it should go to Shimon, and when Shimon dies, it should go to Levi. And he determines an exact line of Yerusha. Meis Rishon Kanasheni. So if Reuven dies, Shimon gets it. Meis Sheni, Shimon dies, Kanashlishi, Levi gets it. Meis Sheni Bechaye Rishon. What happens though if Shimon dies while Reuven is still alive? So then what's going to happen when Reuven dies? It can't go to Shimon. Shimon is already dead. So does it go to Shimon's Yarshim? Does it skip straight to Levi? What exactly happens? Yachsu Nechasim Liyarshe Rishon. No, it does neither of those things. It goes back to the Yarshim of Reuven, so remains Reuven's. Now wait a second. If you hold kinyan peiros kinyan haguf dami, you understand why it goes back to the Yarshim of Reuven. Because when Reuven had it, he didn't have a kinyan haguf; he had a kinyan peiros in it. If you hold that's the equivalent of ownership. So I understand that on some level, his Yarshim are going to be entitled to it because Reuven was the owner of the kinyan peiros, and therefore he was the rightful owner of that property. But if you hold kinyan peiros or lav kinyan aguftami, so Reuven only has a kinyan peiros, Shimon, if Reuven dies, would only have a kinyan peiros, but the point is Reuven only had a kinyan peiros to begin with. How could it go to his Yarshim? Who's the last person to really have a kinyan aguf on this karka? The only person to really have a kinyan aguf on this karka was the Nosin himself. So v'misa liyarshe Nosin b'baylei. If you, Reish Lakish, are correct that kinyan peiros are lav kikinyan aguftami, then it should go back not to Reuven, to the first recipient, but it should go back to the one who's bequeathing this to everybody. So answers the Gemara, Amrlei kvartir Gemara Hoshia b'bavel acharecha shayni. That in a situation where you say acharecha, it's always going to be different. That's going to have a different halacha. Why is that going to have a different halacha? So if you look at the Rashbam, Acharecha Shaini, toward the bottom, the Mashma Deguf Uperos Nasan L'Rishon. When you say Acharecha, you're saying I'm not only giving you Reuven, the Kinyan Peros, I'm actually giving you the Guf and the Peros. Da Behedya Parish Acharecha Yirish Ploni. Because you say explicitly that after you're done, so-and-so should get it. V'Halesei Delirish. But he's not around to Yarshin. Hilkach Yishru B'Yad Yarshe Rishon, therefore remains within the possession of the first Yarshin. The Hachi Kamerle, this is what he's telling him. Kol Yamecha Yecha Ya Kol Shalcha HaPriva Guf. So long as you're alive, everything should remain yours, both the pri and the guf. Umashi yishtayirach arecha yikabel ploni, and whatever remains after you should go to so and so. And if the first guy wants, he can sell the guf, like we're going to say later on. But when it's a case of someone saying acharecha, it's a davar pashut that the guy is not only being kona the kinyan peiros, he's actually being kona the guf hakarka as well. Says the Gemara, v'chein rami rabba bar Rav Huna kamei de rav v'amar acharecha shayni. Rabba Rav Huna also asks the same kasha in front of Rav, and Rav also gave the same teretz that acharecha shayni, that when you determine that it should go not only to you but to you and then to you and then to you, that's going to be more than a kinyan peiros, that's going to be a kinyan haguf as well. So says the Gemara. Okay, so we just had Rabbi Yochanan attacking Reish Lakish. Had Rabbi Yochanan attack Reish Lakish, he said, because if Reish Lakish, you are correct that kinyan peiros lav kinyan haguf dami, it should always go back to the nosein, right? So then we answer that maybe no, maybe even if typically kinyan peiros is lav kinyan haguf dami over here, it's actually kinyan haguf that's done. But if you actually have a brisa that says that it goes to the nosein, that's the greatest raya that kinyan peiros is lav kinyan haguf dami. That would be a raya against Rabbi Yochanan, would be a raya in the reverse. Because if kinyan peiros is kinyan haguf dami, then there's no reason for it to ever go back to the nosein. It should of course go back to the Yorshe Rishon. The Yorshe Rishon, the Rishon is the one who had the kinyan peiros, so that should be considered a kinyan haguf. So frak the Gemara on Rabbi Yochanan, we flip it around. V'atanya yachzru the Yorshe nosein. We have another brisa that says that it goes back to the Yorshe nosein. So that's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. At least that's the way the Rashbam understands it. Or if you look at the Rashbam, v'atanya yachzru the Yorshe nosein, the Rabbi Yochanan parach, that the kasha is on Rabbi Yochanan. Afagav di ikal ha-meimar. Acharecha shayni, even though you could say acharecha is different, and that acharecha is always that you're trying to give a kinyan haguf, afilu hachi yachzru the Yorshe nosein. So this is even stronger. Even though typically we would think that acharecha is more reason to say that Reuven owns not only the peros but the guf as well, still we're saying in this brisa you don't give it to Reuven, you give it back to the Yorshe Rishon, to the Yorshe Nosein, not the Yorshe Rishon. The kinyan peros, the Rishon lav ki kinyan haguf dami. So you see that Reuven's kinyan peros is worthless. The kolshken kinyan peros di alma the lav ki kinyan haguf dami. For sure, therefore, regular kinyan peros is lav ki kinyan haguf dami. Kresh Lakish, like Reish Lakish said, the kasha the Rabbi Yochanan, and that is a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. So that's how the Rashbam says it. That's Pashup Pshat. The Gemara is just flipping around the question. The same question Rabbi Yochanan asked in Reish Lakish. We flip it around on him and say, no, we have a brisa that says otherwise, and the brisa that says otherwise, even your brisa is not a kasha on Reish Lakish, because you could say acharecha is different, but the brisa that says otherwise, specifically because acharecha is different, is an even bigger kasha on you, Rabbi Yochanan. Says Tosfos, Pirish Bekunchus, Bekasha Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Kin Pirish Kin Nagoftami, Umishani, Tanai, Hida Pligi, Bekin Pirish Yavi Kin Nagofalo. And the Gemara's answer, according to Rashbam, is going to be that it's machlokas tanayim whether in fact kinyan peiros is kinyan haguf dami or kinyan peiros is not kinyan haguf dami. Says Tosfos ve'ein nira. I don't believe that's correct. Dahar be tanayim matzim the pligi bekinyan peiros ve'hedya yosir me'elu gavimochra avdal menashe yisham shenu shloshim yom chesk sabatim. Right? He says if the Gemara wanted to come up with machlokas tanayim whether kinyan peiros kinyan haguf dami, it could have done better than the machlokas it's about to quote. I mean, if all the Gemara is going to answer is, yeah, it's machlokas tanaim whether kinyan peiros kinyan haguf dami. So good, you have a raya from one brisa that kinyan peiros lav kinyan haguf dami. There will be rayas from other brisas that it is kinyan haguf dami. But the Gemara wanted to just demonstrate that we know that it's machlokas tanaim. There are better sources in tanaim to quote than the brisa that's about to quote. So it also says it's hard to believe that what it's about to quote is the source that the Gemara could think of machlokas with kinyan peiros kinyan haguf dami. Va'od the ledvarav lo garsin ala acharecha tanayihi, meaning the girsa should just be acharecha tanayihi, right? That it should say the ledvarav lo meaning says the Bach near ben eklomer v'hu tema limcho kagirsa shibrof esfarim, right? We're not gores ledvarav, we're gores acharecha. Tanaihi. Well, what are we goris? We're just goris Tanaihi. Ditanya nechasalach acharecha. So I'm not sure what the girsa that he's changing is. Okay, I'm not sure, but he's saying that to change a girsa would be problematic, and the Rashbam requires changing a girsa. Not sure why that's the case. V'nira says Tosus, but where I think pshat is the Reish Lakish paruch, that the real kasha is not on Rabbi Yochanan and holds kikinin aguftami. Kasha is on Reish Lakish, says lav kikinin aguftami, and in order to justify saying lav kikinin aguftami, the shani achurecha shiny. Reish Lakish had to answer and say that acharecha is different. And when you say acharecha, you're having kavana to be makna that not only the kinin peros but also the kinin aguf. That's what Reish Lakish had to say in order to answer the original brisa. Ah, so now we understand what the real kasha is, because v'hachi parach. If you're going to say that acharecha, when you determine where your nechasim are going to go after you die, and then where it's going to go next after that, that's just like a typical case of kinyan peros, and it would be subject to the same machlokas of kinyan peros, kinyan aguf dami. So the brisa that says that it goes back to the Yoshe Rishon would go like Rabbi Yochanan, Asi Shapir. That would work out fine. To betzino harbe tanaim de pligi b'achi, because there's a major machlokas tanaim about that, and you'd have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. That wouldn't be a problem for Reish Lakish to have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Because, so what? So there are brises that support Rabbi Yochanan. We know there's a machlokas tanaim about this. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are just arguing how to paskin. Eli amrit ahi diachsu liyoshe rishon svarin nami bialma de lavkin aguvdami v'hachem yishum da'acharecha shayni. But if you're going to say that the idea that the Brisa says of Yaksul Yoshi Rishon is because even if you hold that Lav Kikinin Aguvdami, Acharecha means you're specifically intending to be makne not only the Peros but also the Guf, V'atanya Yaksul Yoshi Nosin. But we have another Brisa that says you give it back to the Nosin. Now if it were purely Kikinin Peros Kikinin Aguv issue, fine. So you have one Brisa against another Brisa, they're arguing about Kikinin Peros Kikinin Aguv. That would be great. But that's not what's going on. You, Reish Lakish, are arguing that all the brises could say that even if you hold Kinyan Peros Lav Kinyan Aguftami, it's always going to go back to the Yorshe Rishon, because in this case of Acharecha, you're being makna the Guf itself to the Rishon. Well, then how's there any room for a brisa to hold that it goes back to the Nosein? V'atayin yachsu Yorshe Nosein, v'ha'in svar lomar desfiru leda Acharecha Lav Klum, v'lo matzina plukta b'achi. What? What are you going to say? That the two brises are arguing whether acharecha really is a kinyan aguf, or whether it's only a typical kinyan peros and subject to the typical machlokas? That's what they're arguing about? Well, we never saw anyone argue about that. We have plenty of machlokas in Tanaim throughout Shas arguing about whether, in a typical kinyan peros, whether it is kinyan aguf dami or not. We don't find any Tanaim arguing about a case where you say acharecha, whether that means that you're intending to be makne the guf itself. And the Gemara answers, yeah, it is a machlokas about acharecha. We do find a machlokas tanaim about acharecha. Kolomar, liyomu kamaisu nami k'reish lakish. The first price is going like Reish Lakish. Also, v'acharecha nami tanaihi. And this issue of acharecha, whether your assumed intention is to be makna the guf, that in fact is a machlokas tanaim. Tosafos must have had a different girsa than us, right? He must have had the girsa of acharecha tanaihi. We don't know, that's what he was bothering the Rashbam about, right? He says, according to the Rashbam has to take out the word acharecha and just say tanaihi. Well, in our girsa, that's exactly what we have. We don't have the word acharecha anyway, right? So for us, it wouldn't require being mochek a girsa. The girsa has already been nimchak, or already been resolved in our editions of the Gemara, that it only says tanaihi. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Let's assume that the kasha is like the Rashbam, that this is a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. That how could it say it goes back to the Nosein, to the Yorshe Nosein in this second brisa, if after all Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Aguftami, then it should belong to the Rishon, because the Rishon at the very least had a Kinyan Peros. So says the Gemara, Tanayi, we have Machlokas Tanayim on this Titania. We learned in the following brisa, Nechasei lach v'acharecha l'ploni v'yared Rishon u'machar v'achal. Let's say a guy says, I'm giving my nechasim to you, Reuven. And after Reuven dies, I want them to go to Shimon. Then Reuven goes and he sells them. And va'achal. Now what does va'achal mean? Va'achal normally means he consumes it. But over here we're talking about real estate. So it can't be that he either sells it or consumes it, because real estate could never be consumed. Right? So va'achal probably means the money that he gets for that real estate is gone. That he doesn't have that money to show for it to be able to pass on to the next guy. Not that he would necessarily Not that the next guy is entitled to that money. The next guy was entitled to the land. So it may not be, the money may be a non-issue, but for some reason the Gemara just throws in the word vi'achal. I'm not really sure, right? Rashbam says in the second wide line that it doesn't really need to say vi'achal. V'yard rishon machar v'achal, urcha demilson nakat shem machar v'hutzia mos v'hutzah. Just stand, it's telling us what normally happens. Normally you sell, you get money, and you use that money. So it's not, but it's not really necessary to say vi'achal. You should take note, there are two sides of Rashbam on this page. There's no Tosos, so we'll be referring to Rashbams on both sides. So anyway, so we have this price that says nechas elach v'acharechal ponim v'yard rishon machar v'achal hasheni motzi miyad alakuchos divrei Rebbe. The Rebbe holds that the second guy can take it away from the lakuchos, that sale is invalid. The rishon had no right to sell anything, and therefore Shimon can come and take it away from the guy Reuven sold it to. That's Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein L'Sheni El Mashir Rishon. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says, no. The Sheni gets whatever's left after the first guy's done with it. When the first guy's done with it, nothing is left. So the second guy gets nothing. So you see that this is a Machlokas Tanaim as to the rights of the first guy. Is he considered the real owner? Is the person who receives the kinyan peros from the original nosein? Rabbi Yochanan would say that is kinyan guftami. He is considered the real owner. Rabbi Shlomo would say it's not kinyan guftami. He's not considered the real owner. So Rebbe, we see, holds that he's not considered the real owner like Rish Lakish. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would line up with Rabbi Yochanan that he is considered the real owner. He even had the right to sell it. He even had the right to go and sell it, and no one's allowed to take it away from the guy that he sold it to. So henceforth, the Gemara is going to be referring to Rabbi Rav Shimon Gamliel more than Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So we've got to keep everyone's opinions in mind, right? Rav Shimon Gamliel is the guy that says, is the one who says, the shita that holds that that the first guy was the real owner, and therefore he's free to do with it as he wishes, and the second guy can't confiscate anything. Rebbe holds no. The first guy's ownership is limited, and the second guy can confiscate from whoever the first guy sells it to. So says the Gemara, Uraminhi Avastira Nechasai Lach Vacharecha Leploni. Again, the same situation. You say, I'm giving you my Nechasim, and then I want it to go to Ploni. Yorid Rishon Amocher V'yochel Dever Rebbe. Rebbe holds that the first guy can go down and sell it and enjoy the profits of the sale, and it's no problem. Right, that's that, and no one could do anything about that. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer in the Rishon Achilus Peros Bavad. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's not true. The first guy only has the right to the Achilus Peros. He has no right to sell it. If he sells it, he's overstepping his boundaries. And the second guy, Shimon, is allowed to come and confiscate. He doesn't say this explicitly, but it sounds like Shimon would even be allowed to come and confiscate it from the first guy. So basically, what you have is Kasha Drabi Adrabi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Shimon Gamliel. You have the Shitos reversed. In the first price, Rebbe is the one who said that the first guy is not entitled to sell it. In the second price, Rebbe says he's entitled to do whatever he wants. In the first price, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel is the one who said that the first guy is entitled to do whatever he wants. In the second price, he says he's not entitled to sell it. So how do we make sense of this? The Rebbe lo kasha. So it's not a stira in Rebbe. Halagufa halapira. It depends what he sold it for. The first price, when Rebbe says that the first guy was not entitled to do anything, and the second guy is allowed to be motzi, he's allowed to confiscate it, that's where he sold the guf. Because the first guy did not own the guf, he owned the peros. So if he sold the guf, he clearly went beyond what he was allowed to do, and then Shimon is allowed to come and take it away from whoever Reuven sold the field to. But the second price is where he was Yorid Rishon Umocher, was talking about selling the peros when it says Yorid Rishon Umocher. Peros he owned. So certainly the second guy, Shimon, can't come and take anything away from the lokeach of Reuven. Reuven owned the peros, so he had every right to sell those peros. So that's not a stira in Rebbe. We also don't have a stira within Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, halachachila hadiyaved. What did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say in the first brisa? That the second guy only gets what the first guy left over. And in the second brisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tells us, the Rishon should not sell anything. So those two statements don't contradict each other. The first, Reuven shouldn't sell anything. And if he does, Shimon is not entitled to anything that Reuven had sold. Shimon is only entitled to that which is left when Reuven is done with it. So Reuven lechatchila is not allowed to sell, but if he does, he's not permitted to sell, but he is empowered to sell. There's a difference between being permitted to do something and empowered to do something. So that's why it's not a stira in Rav Shimon Gamliel. If you look at Rashbam, halachachila kamar Rav Shimon ein lo limkor lachachila guf ela achilas haperos, that lachachila you shouldn't sell the guf. You can only take care of the pay. You can only eat the peros. Kedei sheiskayim daito shel nosein, in order to make sure that the nosein's intention is fulfilled. Because the nosein, the original nosein, very, very clearly made it obvious that he wants Shimon to be left with something. He doesn't want Shimon to be left empty-handed. So if there's going to be anything left after the first guy's done, and this is how to understand the Braisa, that the first guy goes, he's allowed to sell and he can eat and it's fine, because whatever he's selling is only the peros. The Rishon shouldn't just stam sell anything without being specific, because if he is stam selling anything, he's actually selling the guf, he's not just selling the peros. And that's not nice. I mean, according to Rebbe, you're not selling the guf anyway. No one entitled you to sell the guf. So you want to go tell someone, look, I'm selling you this? It means that you're selling the peros, and that you're entitled to sell, so that's fine. But according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you're empowered to sell the guf. So if you go and say, I'm selling you this property, without being specific, so the implication is that you're selling the guf, and you're empowered to do so. But that's really wrong. You shouldn't do it. And that's why Kolmach Vlonis Kaima Dasa Nosein, that would not fulfill the original intent of the Nosein. Ela Achilas Peros Udis L'Chadchila Olam Achron, Aval Gufa Di'Evid In L'Chadchila Lo, V'Akamaisa Di'Evid Rishon. And that's what the first price is saying, that b'di'eved, the second guy only gets what the first guy is what the first guy left behind. What's interesting is that in answering the stira of Rabbi, we said halagufa halapera, right? That which was the first ha halagufa. So within Rabbi, it was the first brisa. Halapira was the second brisa. In Rav Shimon Gamliel, I just noticed this now. I don't know if anyone talks about this. In Rav Shimon Gamliel, when we say lokasha, halachadchila hadi'eved, halachadchila, the first ha is the second brisa, right? And the second ha is the first brisa. The bidyavid is the first brisa. Not sure why we do that. Why would we switch it around? Right? Usually when you have something like that, where the Gemara doesn't specify which is which, you'll have machlokas rishonim with another way to understand it that makes it consistent. But I certainly didn't have a chance to see anything like that. I would guess that there is not a machlokas rishonim here, if I had to take a guess. Probably, halachachila diavad is just a natural way of saying that. That when we talk about lachachila b'diavad, we never say b'diavad and lachachila. That we always say lachachila first. So even though it reverses the order of the prices, it's just the Gemara, you know, it's a shigra delishna of the Gemara, is that it always uses that term with lachachila coming before b'diavad, as it makes sense. Lachachila typically is going to come before b'diavad, even though it reverses the order of the prices. Okay. Amar Abaye, Ezu Rasha Arum. Abaye says, what's a real conniving, evil thing to do? Zeh HaMesi Eitzel Limkar B'Nechasim K'Rav Shimon Gamliel. If someone holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel and gives advice to Ruvein, the Rishon, the first recipient, to go and sell the Nechasim. Because, again, according to Rabbi, no big deal, you're not really entitled to sell the Nechasim. So Shimon's going to be able to take them away from wherever you sold them to. But according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shimon will not be able to take them away from wherever you sold them to. Your sale is going to be binding. So that's a real rotten thing to do, to go and advise Reuven to sell the Nechasim, which takes Shimon out of the picture, and that clearly was not the das of the Nosein. Now, why doesn't it just say it's a real rotten thing for Reuven to go sell the Nechasim? Mesi Eitzah, someone who gives Eitzah for Reuven to sell the Nechasim. No, because you understand, when Reuven sells the Nechasim, he's a Rasha L'Teavon. He's doing the Avera because he gets money. You know, it's enticing. So that's not the ultimate rishus. When you benefit from your, you know, it's rishus because obviously he's not cheshbining out the cheshbono shalolam of schar mitzvah negative seida and schar avera negative seida, right? So he's not making that cheshbon, but at least he has some sort of schar. At least he's getting some sort of benefit from it. So you understand where he's coming from. But the Rasha Arum is the guy who advises him to do this, who's gaining nothing, and still offers such advice. Am Rabbi Yochanan Lach, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We pass on like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that again, the Rishon should not sell anything other than the peros, but he's empowered to sell the guf if he wants. Umodishim nasim b'mat ashkemira lo aso klum. But even Rav Shimon Gamliel is moda that if Reuven gives it as a matna shchiv mirah, he doesn't sell it. He gives it as a matna shchiv mirah, then the fellow he gives it to is not the rightful owner of it. My timer, why? What's the difference? Amar Abaye matna shchiv mirah lo kana el liachar misa ukvar kadmu acharecha. Because the kinyan of matna shchiv mirah is only chal after the giver of that matana dies. So it's only going to be chal after Reuven dies. But the original nosin in this case said, it goes to Reuven, va'acharecha l'shimon. That va'acharecha comes before the chalos of the matna shchiv mirah. Acharecha comes first. So, meaning, apparently, the idea is that acharecha is not after the death, it's at the death. You have to say something like that, right? Rashbam says, my taima. Right, Rashbam on the left side now. My time around by Matna Shkrimra Imas Havya Lachramisa Kvar Kadam Acharecha. Hai Sheni the Kamra Aleha Hanosin Acharecha Laploni Kadam Lazesh Nosan Larishon. The Misha Shehishil Hai Rishon Litrof Kana Hasheni. From the moment the first guy started to die, even though he's not dead yet, the second guy already was Kona. The Acharecha Im Gemar Misa Mashma. Acharecha means at the end of the death process. What does that mean? The Gemara Misa, it means as soon as Reuven no longer needs these nechasim, that's when they become Shimon's. But the recipient of the matana only receive of a matna shchiv mira would only get it after the gemar misa. The stam adam nosim mona lachar misa, so ain't what's the lotsim mona mikocho at shetigmar misa. So because if I'm giving something that actually belongs to me, I only want it to go to somebody after the death is over. Avla el din nosim salak nafshe mehani lechasim shayin nason l'rishon chavitzu shi'is gashenim gemar misa shel rishon. But over here, it's not being given. But in our case, where there's one original nosim who wants it to go to Reuven and Shimon and to Levi, when does he want to transfer from Reuven to Shimon? Not only when Reuven is really good and dead and absolutely, completely dead. No, he wants his nechasim to be maximized. So he wants, as soon as Reuven is no longer able to use them, let them go to Shimon. So that's his true interest. I don't know what that would mean if Reuven goes into a coma or something like that. I'm not sure. But at least what you see over here is that the acharecha precedes the matna shchiv mira. So, does Abai really say that? That a matna shchiv mira only happens totally after you die? Abai amar im gemar misa, Rav amar lachar gemar misa. We have machlokas Abai and Rav when matna shchiv mira is kona, and Abai does not say after the gemar misa. He says im gemar misa, around the time that you die. Now, what exactly is im gemar misa? Does im gemar misa even mean with your death as opposed to laachar your death? So there's machlokas rishonim. Mukhe Yosef writes that it means ma'at kodem misa, a little bit while you're still alive, a little bit before you die. So Zrit says im gemar misa means kishamaschilim evarav lamus v'yesh lo choli shemesim evarav echad echad v'shoa harbe b'misaso. Some type of illness that a person has that is evarim shut down one by one and until he dies, and that process has already begun. That's what im gemar misa as opposed to l'achar gemar misa means. I'm not sure what illness that is in particular. Rabbeinu Gershom says im gemar misa means at the shas yitzias neshama, which means as the moment of death, the exact time of death, as opposed to the moment after death. Okay, so anyway, but don't you see that Abai is so sure himself? Because you see, Abai over here holds matna shchiv mira is not la'achar gemar misa, it's im gemar misa. So how do we Abai? Abai changed his mind from that. Abai now holds that it's not im gemar misa, it's la'achar gemar misa, right? So says the Gemara, how do you know he changed his mind from that? We just see it's a stira, so you just know he changed his mind from something. But how do you know what he changed his mind from to? How do you know which statement that came first? Why are you so sure that he no longer holds im gemar misa and he now holds li'achar gemar misa? Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the ultimate statement, the final statement of Abai was that it's it's even Gemara Misa. So, and so the Gemara Lo Sal Kedai Tachtitznan, because we have the following Mishnah. Zegi Techim, I mean, we have a Mishnah that tells us about trying to make things happen after you die. Zegi Techim Mesi, Zegi Techim Michali Zeh, Zegi Techim Acham Misa, Lo Amar Klum. If a person gives a get to his wife and he uses any of these Lashonos, if I die, meaning then this should be a good get, or Michali Zeh, if I die after this illness is over, meaning after I die, this should be a good get, or Zegi Techim Lachar Misa, where the Gerushin is only supposed to be Chal, Lachar Misa, so then Lo Amar Klum. Then what he said is absolutely worthless. So what do you see? That La'achar Misa, he's trying to be Megarisher, so the same thing, if you try to give a Matana La'achar Misa, that would be no good. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, right, so that's why we know that Abaye no longer holds im gemar misa. He holds that it's only going to be chal li achar gemar misa. Then the matn shchimra is only going to be chal after the death is already over. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that Reuven is empowered though not permitted to pass on the nechasim to somebody else, to sell them to somebody else. And not only that, let's say these nechasim were actually avadim, and Reuven just freed them. Even that he's entitled to do, he's empowered to do. So, Fraknumar Peshitta, of course, that's nechasim, and if they're his to do with as he pleases, of course he's allowed to free them. Why not? So, answer no. Mao de Tamar, Amrle, the Mavadis, Mao de Tamar, what's the gears over here? Matzi Amrle, the Mavadis, Sura lo Yavinanlach, Kamash Milan. I might have thought that the original Nosim could say, wait a second, I said that my Avadim should go to Reuven, then to Shimon, then to Levi, and I empowered Reuven to be the owner of these Avadim, but not to do an Avera with them, and freeing an Aved is an Avera. It's a mitzvah to say the Torah, the Olam Be'am Tavodu, that an Eved Kanani is supposed to be kept in Avdus forever. So to go and free an Eved is an Avera. So he could say, I never empowered Reuven to actually go do an Avera. Kamash Milan, that yes, he did. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that again, Reuven is entitled to sell the nechasim, v'afilu asan tachrichin lemeis, even if he took those nechasim and he made them into tachrichin for a dead body. So pshita, again, once if he's allowed to do whatever he wants with it, why should tachrichin lemeis be any different? Of course he can make them into tachrichin. No, ma'al detem l'shavinu yisuri hana lo yahavilach, kamash milan. I might think that the guy can say, I never wanted to empower you to make them into Yisurei Hana. Tachrich and the Meis are Yisurei Hana. Right? No one's allowed to get Hana from them. So that I might think is beyond what he was allowed to do with these Nechasim. Fine. Darash Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, Esrog Zeh Nachman Nachman Matana, Vachrech Leploni. What if I give somebody an Esrog and I say, here, this Esrog is yours in Matana, it's the first day of Sukkot, you need an Esrog to be yours, you need Shalachem on the first day. So I say, here, this Esrog is given to you as a Matana, and after you, it goes to Ploni. Natla Rishon V'yatzabo, so then the first guy takes it and tries to be Yotzei the Mitzvah with it. So is he Yotzei the Mitzvah with it? Bamil Machlokas, Rabbi Rav Shum Gamliel. That's exactly the machlokas, Rabbi Rav Shum Gamliel, according to Rabbi, that the first guy, that the first recipient is not entitled to sell it or do as he pleases with it, so therefore it's not his, so he's not Yotzei the Mitzvah. According to Rabbi Shum Gamliel, that the first guy, the first recipient, although he's supposed to give it to a second recipient, and he's empowered to do whatever he wants with it, so then it's his. So you see that that he would be Yotzei the Mitzvah. Maskefar of Nachman Yitzchak ad kan lo pligu Rebbe v'Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Hasam el de Mar Sover Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf Dami Mar Sover Kinyan Peres Lav Kinyan Aguf Dami. Says no, wait a second. Maybe we're being overly broad over here. Maybe we're trying to apply this machlokas Rebbe v'Rebbe Shimon Gamliel in places that it should not be applied. They argue about the simple idea. Not so simple idea, but about the idea of kinyan peres kinyan guf dami or lav kinyan guf dami. Ela hacha, imepak lo nafik pei lema yahavna alei. But over here, the whole purpose of the nosim, giving the matana to Reuven, giving the esrog to Reuven, was to be yosei the mitzvah. If he's not going to be yosei the mitzvah, then what's the point? What did he give it to him for? Obviously, it was for the sake of the mitzvah. So it's hard to imagine that Rebbe's going to say that since Reuven is not entitled to sell it, he's not yotzei the mitzvah. Probably the original nosein wanted to give it to Reuven, however much he needed, with as much koach, kalachas, he needs to give it to him in order to be yotzei the mitzvah, because that's the whole purpose of giving it to him. Says Rosh Bam, hamepak lo nafik rishon l'rebi l'mayavina alei, shari ein bo peros acheros, v'agufeinu yachol limkor lechol. There are no other peros that the esrog produces. What do you think he gave it to him? And he's not allowed to sell this esrog or eat it. Lo nitan rishon ela l'kayim bo mitzvos netila. He obviously gave it to him only to do the mitzvah. V'lachem karinen bay, and that's enough for v'lachem. The ein l'sheni koch bo calls man sheroy l'zer rishon latzeis bo, because the halacha is the second guy would not be able to be yotzei the mitzvah, would not have any rights to that esrog, so long as the first guy is still being yotzei the mitzvah with it. So acharecha ka'amar, because he says acharecha, not that the second guy is entitled from the very outset. No, only once you're done, that's when the second guy's entitlement kicks in. So until that time, it's completely yours. This is not like an esrog hashutfin, because at this time, because by an esrog hashutfin, all the shutfin own it together at the same time. But over here, it's not meshubad at all to the second guy, so long as the first guy is still alive, right? So that's why he's going to be able to be yotzei the mitzvah with this esrog. So says the Gemara, elamepak tukuliyam lo pligi denafik bay. Okay, so let's go back to this discussion on the esrog. The issue must be that in order to be yotzei the mitzvah with it, okay, that's not a machlokas. Even Rebbe would agree that you can be yotzei the mitzvah with it. What's the issue over here? Machro o achlo. What if he sells it or eats it? So then you have machlokas Rabbi Rishon Gamliel. If he consumes it, if it's gone now, was he entitled to do that? Right. So according to Rishon Gamliel, he was empowered to do that. According to Rabbi, he was not. Amar Rabbi Barav Huna, ha'achin shekanu esrog betfusas habayis, nato echad mehen v'yatzabo. Let's say brothers use the estate, right, to purchase an esrog. So it's not that anyone is using their own money to purchase the esrog, and one of them takes it to be yotzei with it. Im yachla achlo yatzav im lav lo yatzav. So is he yotzei the mitzvah or not? It all depends on the following issue: when they use the house money to go and buy the esrog, is the one who tried to use it for the mitzvah entitled to eat it? If he's entitled to eat it, so then it's his. Then it's enough his that he's able to be yotzei the mitzvah. If he's not entitled to eat it, then he can't be yotzei the mitzvah. V'dafka dika esrog l'kol chad v'chad, aval parash rimon lo. But that's only when there's an esrog for each and every one of them. But a parash rimon would not be the same. So what in the world is that talking about, parash rimon, if it were some other fruit? So Rosh Bam in the fifth wide line says, umasha kasav b'svar v'dafka esrog aval parash rimon lo, arichus pirush shel shotim hu. Venom in a Gemara, it's a pretty strong lashon. He says morons wrote that line. They don't know what they're talking about. It's not from the Gemara. And Ken Yerbein have a kosher. He says, believe me, I'm a kosher rabbi when I tell you to erase that line from the Gemara. That line doesn't belong in the Gemara. Some idiot put it in later on. So it's an unusual expression. Normally you would say logar sinin hachi. You wouldn't say some idiot did that, right? But okay, says Tosos al parash rimen lo pirush bekunchus logar sinin la. Rashi says Rashbam says we're not goresit. Said a little more than that. V'yesh lefarish b'dochak. Maybe we could explain it as follows. Dafka d'chiyesh lenosin esrog melvad oso shenotel mekabel matana ve'eino makvid im yochal la'ese esrog. Avli lesli lenosin el parish rimon lo yatza demistama yakvid im yochal la'ese esrog b'dochak. And maybe what it means is as follows. Now what's the Gemara saying? That if each person has their own esrog, so I'm not going to be so worried that you're eating the esrog, because I have my own esrog, so I'm not so worried that you're eating that esrog. It's fine, I'll still be able to get the mitzvah. But if we're just splitting a basket of fruits, and you took the esrog, and I'm left with the parash or rimon, and you go and you eat that esrog, right? We bought with the two sabayis a basket of fruits, and you eat the esrog, the one esrog, now I'm not going to be able to get the mitzvah. I'm stuck with the parash rimon, meaning I'm stuck without an esrog. So that's where the guy's going to be makbid, and then it's not going to be good. That's how to be mekayim the girsa. Amar Rava, esrog zeh nasan lachem matana al menasha tachzirei li. If I say to somebody, this esrog is given to you as matana al menasha, that you return it to me, natal v'yatzabo, the guy takes it to try to be yotzei, hichziru yatzah lo hichziru lo yatzah. So if he gives it back, so then he fulfilled the tenai of the matana. It was a matana al menas lahachzir. When you give it back, you fulfill the tenai of the matana. You're yotze. You don't give it back, you don't fulfill the tenai of the matana. You're not yotze. Kamash mal and the matana al menas lahachzir shema matana. So we see from here that the idea of a matana al menas lahachzir counts as a valid binding matana. That it counts as valid matana in the sense that it is lachem, that the esrog in fact belongs to the guy who holds it for the time that he is holding on to it, to be yotze the mitzvah with it. Hahi itza davala dikla ba'ara de Rabbi Barabaye. There was a woman that owned a dekel tree in the land of Rabbi Barabaye. Kol emes avas aslam lemigzerei have a kapili lava. Every time she went to go cut something down from her tree that was in his property, he got upset. He didn't like that this woman was walking through his property all the time. So aknise nehalei kol shnei chayav. He purchased the rights to the tree from her for the remainder of his lifetime. So he owns the kinyan peros of this tree so long as he lives, right? So long as he's alive. Also ihu akni b'no katan. But then the guy went and he was makni to his b'no katan, to his child. So amrafun rabbi Rav Yeshua mishum da'asimu mulai amrisu mili muliasa. So he says, because you come from a town of cut off people, you're going to say something that's cut off, meaning you're going to say something ridiculous. What's the town of cut off people? He came from the town where the B'nai Eli, the descendants of Eli, came from, and we know that the curse that Eli, that the B'nai Eli suffered, was that they're not going to survive into adulthood, really, that they're all going to die at a very young age, and that even if they bring karbanos, it's not going to be mechaper, right? That's what the Gemara says. That the pasuk says bezevach b'mincha, that it's mischaper avon beiseli bezevach b'mincha, that even with zevach b'mincha, they're not going to be able to have a kapara. The Gemara darshins though, yeah, avon mischaper b'torah b'gemilas chasadim. The Gemara says there's only one way they could have kapara, and that is through Torah and gemilas chasadim, right? That's what the Gemara says. What is it, Raven Abaye, or Rabin Abaye? I don't remember who. That one of the They were both from B'nai Eli. One of them lived 40 years, one of them lived 60 years, because one of them was Osek in Torah, so he lived an extra. The lifespan of B'nai Eli is supposed to be 20 years. One of them was Osek in Torah, so he lived 20 times 2. Right? And one of them was Osek Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, so he lived 20 times 3. He lived to 60 years. But anyway, as inherently, there are cut off people. So he said, you said something ridiculous because you come from the town of the B'nai Eli. Afilu Rav Shmuel Liel lo ka'amar el la'acher. Even Rav Shmuel Liel, who entitles you to sell it, that's only to somebody else. But to give it to your own son, that you're not entitled to do. That's beyond what you're entitled to do, and that would not be a valid gift, and therefore the woman is still going to be the owner of the goof of that tree. Okay, we'll stop there.